Okay. Good morning. I'd like to call the July 20th, 2022 Siskiyou County Planning Commission regular meeting. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Chair Lindler?
Here.
Commissioner Hart is absent today.
Okay. So, moving on, approval of the meeting minutes from June 15th, 2022.
Move to approve.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none? All in favor?
Aye.
No opposed, motion carries. Okay, so unscheduled appearances. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is scheduled by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Excuse me. Conflict of interest declaration. Are there any conflicts of interest in today's agenda? Okay, seeing none. Item six. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the Commission should be given to the clerk of the Commission for distribution to the commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of a testimony, please address the Commission at the speaking table or via phone and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. Okay. Public records availability. All public records related to an open session item on this agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body, will be available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street, Yreka, California, 96097, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to the members of the legislative body. All projects documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Development Department, or Community Development Department, at 806 South Main Street, Yreka, 96097, and are available for public review. Okay, item 8 discusses our public hearing protocol. I will not review that, but I request that those in the audience review that. Right of appeal. Projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Okay. Are there any change items or consideration of items to be changed or continued? Staff?
Chair, yes, just one item under miscellaneous for staff comments. I'd like to comment on the fitting report for the camp project.
Okay. Any change in the agenda, commissioners? Okay. So let's move on to new business, please. Agenda item 1, the Scott Valley Fire Protection District Use Permit, UP-20-19, and Boundary Line Adjustment, BLA-20-19, categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Haley Lang, Deputy Director of Planning. I'll be presenting this item on behalf of
Rachel because she is in Europe right now.
Oh.
So this project is a proposed conditional use permit to allow for the use of the property for fire protection purposes, including the storage of fire apparatus and equipment and a boundary line adjustment approval to merge three existing parcels for the Scott Valley Fire Protection District. At this location, the properties historically contained the Greenview Volunteer Fire Department, which was constructed in 1953, and then the property was then deeded over to the Scott Valley Fire Protection District in 1988. In 2018, Gregory and Betty Lindholm deeded over two parcels directly east of the Greenview Station. So at this time, the applicant is wishing to merge the three parcels, you know, to continue their operation. And that's all I have for today, but happy to answer any questions regarding this item.
Okay. Any questions at this time? Okay, so with that, I will go ahead and open up the public hearing. Are there any project proponents on the line? I don't see anybody in the audience.
Seeing none.
Okay. Project opponents?
Seeing none.
Okay, so with that, I will go ahead and close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission.
You ready for a motion?
I'm ready for a motion if there's no comment.
I'll move that we adopt resolution PC 2022-016, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, conditionally approving the Scott Valley Fire Protection District Boundary Line Adjustment BLA 20-19 and use permit UP 2019 and determining the project exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Let's see. This is a voice vote.
Voice vote.
So all is in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, no opposed. Motion carries. Okay, great. Thank you. So agenda item two, the Dobson zone change, Z-21-08, categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
Thank you. This is Bernadette Sisson, assistant planner. Robin Dobson, the property owner, has applied to do a zone change from property zone AG1 and AG2 with 40-acre minimum parcel size to TPZ in order to align the zoning of the property with historic, current, and planned future use of the property for timber production. This project is located on 691 acres south and west of Grenada. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning ordinance for the area, so pursuant to the Zeeberg, Warren, Keene, Collier Forest Taxation Reform Act of 1976. As the property was not shown on list A or B, it must meet the minimum standards under list C with stocking levels equal or greater than those required by PRC section 4561. A timber management plan and mapping have been prepared by a registered professional forester, which shows the property meets these requirements. Staff is recommending the finding that this project is statutorily exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15264, Timberland Preserves. No public comments have been received. Environmental Health, CAL FIRE, Public Works, CAL Fish and Wildlife commented on this project and have no objections as proposed. Staff recommends finding this project consistent with the Siskiyou County's general plan and zoning ordinance. Staff recommends determining the project statutorily exempt pursuant to the Timberland Preserves exemption from the CEQA and approving the zone change. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Any comments before we open the public hearing? Okay. Seeing none, I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Are there any project proponents that would like to speak?
Seeing none.
Okay. Any project opponents that would like to speak?
Seeing none.
Okay. That's fast. So with that, I will close the public hearing and bring it back to the commission for questions.
So under its current zoning, is this place under Williams Neck?
No.
It's not. Okay.
I have questions.
Go for it, say a lot.
So first question. In the ordinance number 721, which is the ordinance establishing TPZ in Siskiyou County, item 4.
What page are you on?
I'm on page 2. It's item 4 under section 10-6.3404, qualifications for inclusion in Timberland Preserve, and it's B4. So page 2, at the very back, Dusty, of your packet.
Of Exhibit D.
Of Exhibit D. It states the average timber site be of at least site 3 or higher according to the site rating system. So site 3 or higher, and site class is a function of productivity of the land. So with my question, we have 691 acres, and I see in one parcel 46 acres of 160, and I see in the second parcel 103 acres of 531. My question is, how does the average timber site be at least site 3 or higher relate to that when the preponderance of the acres are not site 3? Any idea?
I guess I referred to the forester regarding this, and because I questioned it myself, and he said that it does meet the standard.
Okay.
So I referred to him as he's the professional on this.
Yeah, and I understand that. And then my question, and I see he's not here, I don't know if he's on the line, but he states that 80% of these areas are stocked, but I don't see he did a timber cruise. So I'm wondering how he determines stocking when there's no data recorded. And having familiarity with that area, it's a lot of brush field. And where I'm going with my question is, if it's not currently stocked, it doesn't mean it's not, it can't be stocked. It's just there's another path for TPZ instead of the automatic enrollment with it without it being stocked. But back to that item 4, maybe I need clarification from county council on the meaning of that, where it says the average timber site be at least site 3. When I see most of it is site 4 and 5. Or something else. So that's probably my biggest question.
Right.
And then I guess maybe a follow-up with that is, site is typically a measure of age and height of the trees. And I know in reading our ordinance, there's supposed to be some information, and this is under D again, but under Exhibit A. Exhibit D, Exhibit A, kind of confusing. How does this work? So under the ordinance, if you go to the next page, it says Exhibit A. There's no page number. On my packet, it's like the second to last page.
It has the map.
Right here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the actual ordinance, there's an exhibit in our ordinance. And then that, it says approximate age and condition of forest lands. I don't see any ages mentioned with heights to verify the site classes. Now, I'm assuming he had to have done them, but they're not included to confirm they're in the right site class. And I know a professional did this, so I'm not question is professionalism. I'm just wondering where the data is or how the data was collected to make those determinations. So, anyways, but go ahead. That was my follow-up question.
Well, if I understand your question, you're asking what the average timber site exactly means, that phrase, is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the average timber site be at least site 3. And when I look at it, I don't see that the average is site 3. I see the average is site 4 and 5.
Okay. As a term, average generally would probably mean there's some sites worse, some sites better,
yep,
of the parcel, and it kind of comes out in the wash around site 3. It's not very precisely defined.
Would you view that as a measurement of acres, like the average number of acres need to be site 3?
I would take that as the reasonable interpretation, so you don't have a teeny parcel and a large parcel. Instead of just saying parcel A is site 1 and the large parcel is site 5, and treating them two equally, it makes a lot more sense to look at the total acreage.
Okay.
Well, even if you're looking at total acreage assigned to the various sites, you've got site 5 at 290, site 4 at 180, site 3 is the smallest at 149.
Right.
It's not even at the median.
Right. And I'm not here to defend the project. Then that is certainly a reasonable interpretation of the average is not met. I mean, it appears reasonable that if we're looking at the total acreage, I think that is a good idea. And site 4 and 5 are the predominant, and site 3 is definitely in the minority, that we're not reaching an average for site 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To the extent that's the Planning Commission's interpretation, and I don't have a more precise definition of average because it's not one of the ordinance,
that is a reasonable, defensible
issue with the project.
Okay.
So.
Do you have any?
You were headed down the same path I was.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and let you ask questions then,
well,
Jeff. Do you have any?
None. I guess it's more of a observational comment. Familiar with the area. It's not one that I would consider TPZ. I'd consider it rangeland with very little water. Realize there's some Ag 1 there. It can't be utilized as Ag 1 because there's no water. I'm not opposed to necessarily the zone change to TPZ. It's making sure that we're doing it in proper accordance with the ordinance and what the criteria are. And that's what I'm wrestling with.
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
I believe I have the owner raise their hand. Would you?
Yeah, somebody that, please.
Yes, this is Robin Dobson. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
I talked to Dan a while back ago, and he mentioned that most of it was based on stocking level rather than site class soils. So the emphasis from the plan he wrote up was more on how much of the area was actually stocked. And that's what he was emphasizing. Most areas, don't meet the site class dominance of the site class 3 around here. Most of it's 3 and below. So I'm just a little confused here.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate your comment. And I do see in the report that there is work with CFIP and some federal projects to do some work and thinnings and afforestation. It's just in the ordinance I was reading, there's a section in the ordinance, and this is the Siskiyou County ordinance, and I'll read it verbatim. It says the average timber site be of at least site 3 or higher. So that's what we're just trying to figure out what that means and how that's applied. My opinion is like Jeff. Our role here is not to determine our role here is to determine if it meets within our ordinance, and that's the one hang up, is trying to get just a clarification on what it means to be the average timber site be of at least site 3.
What does he mean by stocked?
There's various ways to look at stocking, but stocking is usually a measurement of, you know, the density of the trees on a given acre. It could be measured in point count, especially if they're, you know, younger seedlings. Usually want, like, and the state just actually reduced its stocking levels because they recognize we have too many trees per acre to be stocked. But say it's 150 point count per acre, or it's a measure of basal area, which is if you cut down a tree and you have this stump, what's this cross-sectional board footage? And that way you are taking out, when you're measuring things in basal area, you're taking out, small trees and large trees all have basal area. So you're taking out the, you're giving a high preponderance to larger trees because they have more basal area, I think is what I'm trying to say.
So but tree it's count per acre, basically.
Tree count or density, but the density varies based on this basal area, based on the number of larger trees to the small trees. But typically, like on a site 3 ground, we would want 50 square feet basal area. And so what typically you do is you go out and you put in some plots and you measure the basal area throughout the property or the stand and come up with some averages. And so that was my first question, as I see he didn't do that, but there's some ocular estimates. You can do ocular, you know, without an official cruise. So I was just trying to figure out, but that's what stocking is. It's like out of like 100 acres. And yes, it could all be a certain site class, meaning it has the potential to grow trees at this site. So think of it like in ag, is it ag 1 or ag 2? It's a site potential of what can happen. The stocking is what's there.
Okay.
Think of it that way.
Good. Thank you.
Probably a simpler way. So, and so also in reading the ordinance, if something's not there with the stocking, but it has the potential to be there with the site class of the ground, in site class is usually measured, well not usually, it is measured by the age of the tree and the height of the tree. There's a direct correlation with the soil and height. Diameter is a function of density. But anyways, getting off track. But there's two paths, so if they meet stocking, like today, there's one path, and it talks about it in our ordinance, that they can be, immediately zoned TPZ, or if they're not stocked, then there's this, like, 5-year process to meet stocking. But, and that's all fine, we can do that, but then I got to item 4, just reading this, because we don't get many of these TPZ yearly, and I'm dotting my I's and crossing my T's, and I'm like,
the average is not, what's, 149 is not the average.
And that's where I'm hung up.
Yeah.
Because I think they're doing the right thing.
Yes.
It needs to be 382 or better.
Yeah, and then I need clarification in the exhibit. You know, here, Jeff, it talks about these ratios, and excuse me, I've been out of college for pushing 30 years. I can't remember. Like, how does this work in the ratios where, you know, if you need site 3, you know, obviously you need the average. So that's a 1-to-1 ratio. So,
and it doesn't meet that.
So you have to have at least, if you had an 80-acre parcel, you have to have at least 40 acres of timber.
Correct.
And then the whole 80 could be TPZ.
Correct.
But how does that work when, you know, there's other ratios when it's site 4 and 5? But then they all have, but then, so, okay, so if we meet these other ratios, is the average then site 3, which then you go back to here, or am I interpreting that right?
I think you are, and that's the same question I have. I'm not opposed. What's trying to happen here is the right thing to do, but our ordinance, based on the way I'm interpreting it, and apparently the way you're interpreting it, is preventing us from doing it, or we would take an action that directly is in opposition to the ordinance.
Right. I'm thinking there's a couple of ways we can go. Either continue this for another month if the applicant feels he can address the issues, or obviously not approve the resolution and staff can pass on whatever comments the Planning Commission likes to the Board of Supervisors. Perhaps I'm getting ahead of myself, but.
Yeah, I would like to get more clarity.
What's the motivation of the applicants? What are they?
Well, I think it said here in the
restock and bring it back to healthy forest, and they need it for TPZ because when they restock it, they're going to need to do thinning. Mm-hmm. Unless it's TPZ, there are additional hurdles and costs associated with the thinning process to make it healthy.
No, it's a tax thing.
And tax, yeah.
Yeah, so the permitting's the same whether it's TPZ or non-TPZ. The permitting is the same whether it's timberland in downtown Mount Shasta or in county property. The permitting's the same if you're in timberland.
Yeah.
But TPZ allows for a difference in tax break because we went from an ad valorem tax to a yield tax.
Right.
So the yield tax says, and that's partly why in your ordinance, you know, they have to harvest. When you have TPZ, you have to harvest because then your tax is made up, the difference in the county, in the yield. And right now it's a 2.9% of the assessed value of the timber is taxed. And it's an assessed value, not the log sale value.
So it's the incentive to log.
So it's not only the incentive, you're required under TPZ to manage and harvest. You have to have continual harvest. Because that's the trade-off with getting the tax break for TPZ, is that the back end is you are getting the yield tax.
Similar idea to the Williamson Act. If you're not actively engaged in agriculture on the land that Williamson applies to, Williamson no longer applies and you pay a higher tax rate.
Yeah, because then you pay all the mill taxes and whatever you guys are paying.
Similar ideas.
Exactly. So it is assuming. And so
that's why I asked if it was currently under Williamson, because if that was the case, okay, they're getting a tax break now, so we need to stretch this out. So, no, they're paying regular property taxes on this currently.
Yes.
And
so does the, I would like to maybe see if we can get the forester here. Maybe if we talk to Dan.
See if Dan can make the argument where this is not in conflict with our ordinance, or give county council opportunity to take a look at the ordinance as it applies to this, and is there dealing with the ratios, can it be worked out with the ratios in some manner which we're not
seeing?
Right. Because it's kind of tough to approve something when the ordinance says it doesn't meet the requirements.
Right.
And then with that, with this clarification, and you know, a little not specific to this project, but one thing in reading this ordinance is, you know, I think to help our applicants, we need a little bit more, provide A, B, C, D, so there's more of a checklist, so that our staff has the information and our public has the information that they need to collect for us to make these determinations. I think that would be helpful to everybody because, you know, my compassion to the landowner is they go through these motions, they've got all this time and energy and costs, and then there's one little sticking point here, and I sympathetic to that. So I don't know how we go about updating that. Is that something through the county supervisors? Or does it start with us?
Updating the ordinance?
Or at least the exhibit on what information needs to be provided to meet the requirements of the ordinance?
Sure. Well,
I mean, I know it's not germane to this specific, but for future it may help everybody involved.
Right. Well, that can certainly come up via staff. The board wants to give that direction, of course. And I know, in any case, I think we're starting on a project to revamp our general plan and zoning ordinance, so that may
It might come up.
Time to bring this up is right now.
Okay.
And I'm sure staff's taking note of your comments. So,
how do you recommend we proceed then, Counselor? Just to
In some ways it's tough. Crunching the numbers for the average class three, it's 21% class three and 89% worse. So that's tough, and the ratios are basically, I haven't calculated out, seem to be inverse of what they should be. I'm being pessimist in a way, it seems kind of hopeless, but the applicant, you know, certainly if they feel they can address this, or staff can, I'm just kind of making a snap decision, there's some big hurdles to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Or otherwise, it's going to be coming out of the Planning Commission and still go to the board, but, you know, we could explain the reasons why you do not recommend it.
And then, you know, and as far as these site classifications, maybe, I don't know if the forester is able to go out and measure some of these heights and the ages and maybe hone in and increase sight, you know, because I don't know if he's getting his sight based off of measurements or if it's more of an ocular. But I know that, you know, if you've got some open grown young pine trees, and you can say that, like, okay, this tree is X age, though for a site, it technically needs to be a 50-year-old. I'm getting into the weeds here. Never mind. But it would be helpful if we had some ages and heights to see that those site classes, and maybe you could fine-tune those.
Basically, need another 195 acres, site three.
I'd certainly invite the applicant, if they have any comments at this time, if they wanted to come back or other, you know, they wanted you to press forward with whatever decisions. I'd certainly invite Madam Chair a comment from the applicant.
Oh, yeah. Does Robin, would he like to speak again? Or, let's see, I see Kathleen?
Yeah. Are we on?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Okay. What really probably needs to happen is we need to get Dan Larrabee, the professional forester, to say something about how he went about evaluating it.
Yeah.
And I think that would clarify things. I mean, when I look at other lands around here that are already TPZ, they don't have an average of site class three or better. So I don't know how this is becoming a problem here, where the other lands clearly did not meet that particular specific rule. But I think we need to have Dan sort of go through this and sort of explain. I think that would help everybody.
Yeah, I agree, and I thank you for being willing to continue this. So
the challenge is, a lot of the surrounding TPZ was TPZ from the beginning.
Like grandfathered in?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what we're dealing with is an ordinance that was drafted in 1976,
yeah,
in which we had different landscape. And it's very likely this land was TPZ. And back then they had access to water. and changed it from TPZ to Ag 1 and Ag 2 because there was an operating ranch there with a lot of cows and sheep back when my grandpa was in Noyes Valley back in the 40s. It's on the back side, and there was a lot of livestock there, and it was irrigated.
Where was it? On the...
There in Guy's Gulch. West of Grenada, right up Guy's Gulch, and then you go over two mountains and you're in Noyes Valley.
Right.
And so now that area has changed again with no water, and so it makes sense to put it back to TPZ. But we have a 1976 ordinance based on conditions then that we're trying to apply now, and they don't meet up. It's a limitation. And so I guess the additional question I have for council is, when we come back to this, hopefully with Mr. Larrabee here to give us his thought process, be prepared with potential findings that would allow us to make, what's the proper way to say it, to make an exception to the ordinance, per se, so that at least two of us here are in agreement. We like the idea of the change, but the ordinance says we can't because of this. Mm-hmm. But with that, I would go ahead and move to continue it to the next, is that, or to a date to be determined?
Well, I would probably ask the applicant, and I know next month, well, I'm assuming next month is a big
yes
calendar, so I don't know if the applicant would want to wait until September. Anyways.
Can you work that out with them? And we'll just leave it as
so
a TBD?
So move to continue this project to a date to be determined by staff.
I think so. I think we would have to notice it, but it doesn't bother me. Okay, it doesn't bother them. So.
Is there urgency in her doing this? Or them doing this?
I don't know. Robin, if you don't mind me asking another question, is there Commissioner Veal asked a question if there was urgency with your project?
Time sensitivities?
I don't think there's necessarily a time sensitivity. I mean, obviously, we want to get it done. So I don't think, you know, 1 month to another is not.
Okay, thank you for that.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes.
With that said, staff would recommend that we move it to a date certain, the September month.
Oh, okay.
That way we don't have to renotice the project.
Oh, okay, I understand that. So, okay, so it'll be on the September.
So if we move it to a date certain,
you don't renotice.
Public hearing portion is done. We can choose to reopen it should we decide that, but the primary reason for doing this, one, for council to come up with potential findings, and two, for us to be able to have a back and forth with Mr. Larrabee as to how the details would arrive at.
Yeah.
Correct?
And that meeting would be moved to September 21st. Okay.
Is that in motion?
Yeah. It'll be date certain September meeting. Our September Planning Commission.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay, so we have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second.
No, all Tony's second. Make sure he's here. Go ahead, Tony, second.
Second, it doesn't matter. Just a question, though.
Yeah.
The date is September 21st, yes?
That's
yes.
What okay. I'm showing on my calendar.
Yes. I will second that motion. That's
okay. So, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. No opposed. Motion carries. Thank you for being on the line.
This is slightly out of order, but the other question that I had where there may be a potential conflict with the ordinance, because the ordinance specifically says under single ownership, and here it has property owners listed as two individuals. Make sure that is not also in conflict.
Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you.
But deal with the rules.
If the deed has two people on it, still single ownership.
Yes, but it's like we're dealing with rules. to make decisions, and when it says one thing, are we okay doing this?
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so, so now on our agenda, we're on item four, items for discussion direction. Is this any items for discussion, staff? Is this where you would like to speak, Dean?
Yes, sir. So the conversation for the upcoming meeting with the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp.
Okay.
I'm catching one that we're going to have a large degree of participation, so we will need to move the venue from here to elsewhere. So we'll work to get that arranged.
Okay, move the venue. And as a reminder, you're going to chair that portion.
I am. Oh, are you involved? Oh, because you're involved with next to it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gee, I got to do Rosewood too. Oh, gee, I got to do Crystal Geyser too. Oh, gee, now I get to do Kidder Creek.
Yeah.
Next thing you're going to tell me, I get to do JH.
Coming up.
If we ever see it.
Yes, through the chair.
I see how this is working.
In addition to that, on a big note, if there are commissioners who would like to visit the site, on the 27th of this month, Supervisor Hout, Supervisor Ogren, and Commissioner Hart are going to do a site visit.
Are we allowed to go?
One other commissioner could go, yes, at this time. And if others would like to attend, then we can make it arrangements for another day.
Why can't two? Two can go, not three.
For four.
Yeah, two can go.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
So if Mr. Hart is going, if one of you two would like to go, go ahead and do that, because I'm familiar with the area.
July 27th?
Next week. 27th and 28th.
You can't. Here? Blair's already online.
At the site.
Huh? Blair is already online to go.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
So okay. Blair is already
working. I have seen the camp, so if Tony, I will defer to Tony.
I will say yes and check and make sure I don't have a conflict with my wife, because she's involved in a bunch of stuff and all this too, so.
And if not, you'll let Tony go.
I will.
Or Tony, you are, yes. Tony. You'll let Mr. Veal know.
Chair?
Yes.
It's July 27th, a week from today, not August.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's July.
Yeah.
July, a week from today.
July 27th, 9:30. Is that 9:30 on site?
9:30 a.m. on site, yes.
Okay.
Because I know I'm going to be in a Herald Head. I already know right now. So.
Okay. Great, thank you. Any other items for discussion, staff? So I'll move on to miscellaneous. The next regular meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, August 17th, 2022 at 9 a.m. Location to be determined.
That's going to be the only item on that agenda.
It's going to be potentially a long day.
Yeah.
Well, I know that. That's why I'm asking if it's going to be a item or multiple. Okay.
So,
thank you.
And then, since I have to recuse myself, but I can run the rest of the meeting. Can we do Kidder at the end?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. So that meeting again is August 17th, 2022 at 9 a.m. Location to be changed from here to a place to be determined. Any correspondence? Okay, any additional staff comments today? Any commissioner comments? Okay, with that, call this meeting to adjournment.